Well, welcome everyone. My name is Andrew Miller, and today we'll be looking at the subject, how can we be sure about the future? Can we be sure about the future with so much uncertainty in the world? One thing is for sure, that a lot of people worry about the future. There's no question about it. So in order for us to, or in order to help us navigate this subject, what do we think about the future? Do we worry about it? Lots of people do. Perhaps you worry about getting old and infirm, even though this particular lady seems to be fairly relaxed about it. It is something that causes a lot of anxiety, doesn't it? The thought of getting older. It could be that we've got health problems and maybe that's causing us anxiety about the future. There could be other reasons. There could be financial reasons that causes us sleepless nights. It could be that we worry about the people that are close to us and that we love, our family, our children. Perhaps we're worrying about their future and how they're going to fit into it and how they're going to navigate the things that they need to navigate. Or maybe we are a young person ourselves and are struggling with life at the moment, with these lockdowns that we are encountering. Perhaps you're struggling with school and thinking about your future. So it could be that you're a business and you're worrying about this that's been on the agenda for a long time, hasn't it? And you're worrying about how you're going to navigate the future. With the need, the new trading arrangements with the EU. As society, we may be worrying about this, global warming and the consequences of it, which we are seeing today with the extreme weather conditions that we are observing around the world. Or it could be that we're worrying about this and the global pandemic that we're all struggling with at the moment. There's so many things, isn't there, in the world that are causing us anxiety and stress. And the Bible talks about these days as days where men's hearts will be failing them for fear when they look at those things that are coming on the earth. And there is, you know, no question that this is having an effect on our mental health. We look at all the indicators and it would appear that people are struggling. This particular graph is showing an increase in people who have self-harmed. The next slide was a rather haunting picture that I saw a couple of years ago in 2018, I think. It was of a high-rise building overlooking the Thames, and it was to raise awareness of the problem that we got in this country, particularly in terms of suicide, particularly among young men. It was called Project 84, because on average, 84 men commit suicide every day in the United Kingdom. What is going on? And there is certainly a lot of anxiety in the world. And some people can't face the future with these tragic circumstances, with these tragic outcomes. So how do we cope with an uncertain future? Well, there are some suggestions, actually, and one of the concepts that has gained traction in recent years is the concept of mindfulness, this idea that we shouldn't really worry too much about the future, but rather remain in the present. And this particular picture here made me smile when I saw it, that this was, I suppose, designed to reflect our lives, our minds full of all the difficulties and the challenges and the noise. And And the suggestion is that we should become more like this individual over here. Our mind should be in the moment. We shouldn't really be thinking about the future too much, because it just causes us too much anxiety. The Bible has got a slightly different perspective on this, and this is what I'd like to explore today in the time that we have. These are the words of Jesus, taken from the Gospel of John and chapter 14. It was a time where the followers of Jesus were feeling quite anxious about the future, because he had revealed to them that he was going to leave them. And he says these words in John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And what Jesus was saying in essence to his disciples was, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And I know those of you that are listening to this short talk and perhaps are skeptical, or perhaps you may not believe in God, you may be an atheist, and you're saying to me, well, Andrew, if only those words were true. And then Jesus says something really interesting in the following verse, or verse 29 rather. He says, well, now I'm going to prove to you that it is true. And he says these words to his disciples, but he's speaking to us as well. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. In other words, what Jesus Christ did was he told his followers, and he's telling us, things that would happen in the future, so that when they occurred, it might increase our faith in the things that we read in the Holy Scriptures. So what was it that Jesus told his disciples that gave them so much faith and motivation, such that they turned the world upside down with their preaching? Well, let's have a look for a few moments. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples were walking through the streets of Jerusalem, and they went by the temple. And I suppose that the temple would have been a symbol of national identity, a sense of national pride, at a time when the Jewish people were occupied by the Roman powers. And his disciples pointed out to Jesus, well, look at these wonderful buildings of the temple. And they were on the way up to the Mount of Olives, and we picked the story up in Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And they were saying, look at them, aren't they wonderful? And then Jesus says to them something that was quite dramatic. And Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. In other words, what they were looking at in this picture here, and this is a model that's in Jerusalem at the moment, you can go and see this, but it's a wonderful depiction of what it would have looked like. In other words, it's not going to look like that anymore, but rather it's going to look like this. And they must have been devastated at this. And it was 30 odd years later that this came to fruition in AD 70. But he says more. So let's read on. Not only would the temple and Jerusalem be destroyed, but there would be great bloodshed. He says, they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. The Jewish people would be plucked from off their land and they would be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And we put that little word until in red because we'll come back to it later. And if you travel to Rome today, you can see in the inner walls of the Arch of Titus, this carving that depicts the Roman soldiers carrying away the furniture from the temple in Jerusalem. There would be great bloodshed. And in fact, it is recorded by contemporary historians that in excess of 600,000 people perished during this time. It was a time of great calamity for the Jewish people. The disciples of Jesus must have been devastated at this news. But Jesus says to them, it's going to be okay. And he tells them what they should do and what their family should do at the time when this is going to happen. And no doubt his disciples would possibly have been old men and had families in and around Jerusalem. And Jesus says to them that when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that it's coming. And he tells them that they need to get out of the city. Them that are in the midst of Jerusalem, depart out, because Jesus knew what was going to happen. And when we read these words carefully, we think, well, it's strange, isn't it, that Jesus tells them that when they see Jerusalem compassed with armies, in other words, when they see that Jerusalem being besieged by an army, it was then that they were to prepare to get out of the city. It would almost seem to be too late, wouldn't it? And this is where it becomes very interesting, I think. The contemporary historian Josephus, and you can see when he lived during this exact period, says this regarding the siege of Jerusalem. What Cestius did against the Jews, and how upon his besiege in Jerusalem, he retreated from the city without any just occasion in the world, as also what severe calamities he underwent from the Jews in his retreat. In other words, what happened was there was a window of opportunity for those who knew about this to escape the city. In fact, there were two opportunities when people who wanted to leave the city could leave the city even after the siege had begun. And this was quite remarkable in many respects, wasn't it? The level of detail that Jesus was able to give to his disciples in preparation for this great event. But Jesus speaks to us as well, because he speaks to us through the pages of the Holy Scriptures, and he speaks to us through the centuries and the millennia, right down to our day and our generation. And he says to us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And he says to us, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, he might believe. The story about Jerusalem and the fate of the Jewish people didn't end there. In the same prophecy, the Lord Jesus Christ describes how that same people, the Jewish people, having been scattered throughout the world, would come back to their land in the last days. And in fact, it wasn't just the Lord Jesus Christ that spoke of this great event. The return of the Jewish people after 2,000 years back to their land is something that is described throughout the Bible by the Lord Jesus Christ, but also here through the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament. He saw an incredible vision, a vision of a valley that was full of dry bones, all skeleton. And what he saw was those dry bones coming together to form skeleton, and flesh coming upon them, and sinews and skin, and then them rising up like a mighty army. And what did it mean? Well, we're told what it meant. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They were all but dead and cut off. But, says the Lord, through the prophet Ezekiel, I will bring them back to the land. I will settle you in the land, in your own land again. And so in many parts of the scriptures, we read about what would happen in the last days before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And one of the most significant things that would happen would be the return of the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. And of course, we have been privileged to see that in our recent history. On the 15th of May, 1948, here we have a copy of the New York Times declaring the State of Israel established in their own land after 2,000 years, a modern miracle and a direct fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear that this is one of the most important signs to indicate the nearness of his return back to the earth. And of course, we see a nation in its infancy in 1948 growing and going from strength to strength. We see a nation that has flourished. In the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, using the symbol of the fig tree, it would flourish again in the earth. And we have witnessed it in our time. What a wonderful thing that is. You may be surprised to know that in addition to the return of the Jewish people back to their land, in the last century, you may be amazed to know that we believe the Bible has much to say about the United Kingdom. You may be surprised to know that the Bible has got a lot to say about Russia and its role at the time of the end, just prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be amazed to know that the Bible has things to say about the Gulf states and their relationship with Israel at the time of the end, before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are so many prophecies that give us faith and confidence in the future, that God is in control and bringing about his plan and purpose with the earth. The question is, how do we respond to these things? Well, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ went out and they preached the gospel to all that would hear. In obedience to their Lord's command to go and preach the gospel to every living creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And in preaching the gospel to their fellow countrymen in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, these are the words which Peter spoke on that occasion. From Acts chapter 2, we read, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." This is the response which God is looking for from men and women. It is through baptism that we associate ourselves with the salvation that God has made possible through his Son. The act of baptism, we are buried with him when we go down into the water and arise up out of the water to live in newness of life. This is the response that is required from the believer. And so we appeal to you that if these things interest you, if you are feeling uncertain about your future, then please listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are some details which you may be interested in if you would like to follow up on anything that has been brought up in this talk today, and a leaflet here which you can order free of charge. But thank you very much for your attention today.